Right, okay, I think we're on. Thanks a lot for coming along to session 8, The Power of Words. As usual with all of these, if you have a question, throw it in local chat, IM me afterwards, blah blah blah, you know where I am. If you need to ask a question afterwards, I can't remember if you've. Oh, you're type. No, not typing. Oh, good. Right, this one is following on from the last session. It's sort of a natural bridge between the previous one on amulets and the next one on evocation. And this is about words. Whereas in the last one on amulets, I was talking about making use of the intent and vocalization. Those naturally carry on through to the next session on evocation, where pronunciation and the importance become very evident. But for this one, I'm going to focus just on word use in pretty much all uses. We tend to use this a lot for in various parts of the craft. So here we go. So words and names, spoken, vocalized for spellcraft, ritual use, evocation, and written, as in the amulets from last session, or in written spells and wishes, my particular fondness for writing one on a piece of paper and then throwing it into a fire, are very important and possibly important to many people on many paths. Now, there is obviously a usefulness for them within a physical ritual setting, a physical path. But I'm going to obviously focus a little bit more on the visualization aspect and how they play a part in that, considering that's my thing. So let's start with words in general. As I said in the previous session, I discussed amulets written and symbolic form, and that incorporated magical alphabets and sigils and symbolic form, which, when I mentioned about certain Egyptian hieroglyphics like the Ankh and the Ajat, the Eye of Horus, which are actual hieroglyphs, or consist of hieroglyphs in the case of the Eye of Horus, they are important things. Now, the use of the words, generally as we use them in ritual, we are making use of the vocal aspect. Usually you employ particular sounds. For example, the vowel sounds that are used in a number of, and I think I've experienced them in a druid ceremony a few times, I, E, A, O, those kind of not sounds. There's a resonance within the vocalization of them. Obviously, well, in a visualization sense, you probably could still make use of the visualized, the echoing of the words, the sounds within your mind. But of course, the. I'm not sure whether the vocal aspect, the actual sound itself, has an effect, but hey, we'll worry about that another time. But then we've got various aspects of the words when they are vocalized. There's the pitch, speed, rhythmic use, and obviously the language. The language is a very important aspect that I'll come back to shortly. Now, the words themselves. Oh, What is this text? I need to rewrite this. Okay, it may be obvious, but sometimes the obvious can still be missed. A vocal aspect, be that a rhythm, a chant, statement or demand, as you would normally hear in visualization, lends a greater weight, as it's generally your only focus of intent. With that, I'm talking about when you, depending on how much of the visualization you employ, whether it's a full projection of into, as I mentioned in previous sessions, my sacred space that I work in, which is a visualized temple. There I'm having all of the senses being employed. But if you are just quickly visualizing the words without any other accompaniments, then there's no physical aspect that would go, okay, in the visualized temple I'm not physically moving, but I'm visualizing the movement. Normally within a ritual you would have a visualized physical movement and the vocalized and maybe some other aspects going on. Quite a lot of these features you tend to lose. For example, when I was talking about amulets in the previous session, where the amulet loses the colour and the materials and all you have is just form, maybe with a bit of colour, but the physical material is lost. So you lose some of those aspects when you are dealing with a vocalized form in visualization. It's the words themselves that give you the power. Now, one of the significant parts of words, as well as just the formulation of spells, as in your intent, like, and I'll still continue with some of the examples I learned from last time, was keep the dog away. That's obviously your intent. Those are words you would use, and so that's fine. But one of the most significant aspects of vocalization, of word use, revolves around the use of names. And this is where I'm going to look at, because sometimes names can prove a difficulty. Now, there's, we tend to, especially in the Western world, sort of have lost the importance behind names. Naming for people just generally, I've got a message coming in. I think, so I'm not sure if this is someone wanting a TP, but I will throw one over and see if they come in. Anyway, we might have someone coming by. Oh yes, here they come. Yay. Right. Okay, that's sort of on my head. Landed on my head. Okay. One moment while I sort this out. Okay. Okay, let me just okay, to land on my head. Okay, if you can take, hopefully you can hear me. All right, brilliant. If you'd like to take a seat, and I'll continue on. I'll let you get comfy. Right. Okay. Just so you know. If you've got any questions, just ask in local chat or IM me at any point if you want me to repeat something or... Yes, it's the wrong time of the year. this is the tail end, I'm going to be redoing some of the sessions. This is the last time this one's going to run. And this is Second Life, why it always goes. Okay, right. Where was I? Yes, names. As I was saying, in the West tend to be in a variety, the majority of Western countries, names don't seem to have an importance. Not so much in the UK, I'm not sure about the USA. Maybe some of the Latin American countries might make more value within the meanings of names. Right, okay, yeah. It tends to be the way. But many countries, possibly, I think more in the Far East and Asian countries, the names... my name... Okay, I'll give you a quick one. Kia actually is the name of the mother of Tutankhamun. I just like the name. And unfortunately, Heikki was all I could come up with on Second Life. So, the name's supposed to be Hetu. H-E-T-U. No. Right, okay, where were we? Right, yes, back to names. So, in many paths, and mine's probably a tricky one, and I'll use that as a really good example of problems with names, especially in the use of evocation, invocation, and so on. Under my path, a name is extremely important. It defines, like most things, who you are. The preservation of the name is also important to maintain immortality. It was also very important of the Egyptian magicians, and this goes for the deities as well, to know the names of the true names of the deities to gain their power. Now, later on, there are examples within the medieval grimoires that use Christian magic. Yes, old native names. Well, not so much native names. The Egyptian... Oh, Rain Dancer. Yes, there are, it's probably North American, it's, yeah, we, definitely in the UK you tend to have lost many of the names, and as, someone said the, what was it, Rain said about, the US as well. Now, Christian magic in the medieval grimoires, like the Solomonic and so on, there's an awful lot of knowing names and getting them right. It's okay. I'm happy to talk. If you've got any questions, it's fine, because I don't know everything, so it can always take us off on somewhere completely different. Now, there are also within many paths. I think Silene. Oh, that's yours, Silene. Greek. Well, Silene. Yeah, that sounds like moon. Greek Selene. Yeah. Yeah, I quite like that one. I've not seen it. Is that your own? Did you make that change for yourself, or is that one from a particular... Ah, Moonlight. Small moon. The crescent. Okay, fine. I'm rubbish at guessing games. No, okay. You're gonna tell? No? Oh, you're typing, so hopefully you are. Right, okay. After Luna. Now, as you were saying earlier about some of these North American indigenous names and so on, various societies do make use of the important stages of your life to attain a certain name. You only become, say, a man when you have gone through a initiation, and then you're given a name within your tribe, so on. There's many examples along like these kind of things. To a lesser extent, and I'm within as the... Well, yeah, there's the craft name. Some people tend to use those. I don't really have a craft name. I tend to use this Kiaheiki more as a craft name, but then people know me as my real name anyway, so it's just a convenient... I can't put my real name... Well, I probably could, couldn't I? Change my tag or whatever it is up there to be my real name. But hey, don't want to confuse people. But even in the Western life, you sometimes have different names for different situations. You might have the name that your parents call you. You might have the name that your friends call you, and that could be different. You might have a slightly different name for your professional life. For example, some married women still go by their maiden name in their careers. And you may have other names for different things, as you were saying, like a craft name, spirit name that you would use in certain circumstances. Names are really important, and they become marked when you start to use them in your craft. Now, there's a great bit of there's a great play, and it's one of my favourite plays of all time, Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest. That is all about names. And it gives a interesting view on some stereotypes that people have. Let's say in the UK, I don't know so much about the US, but in the UK there's a lot of stereotypes of certain types of names. Now, I'm a Kevin. Now, in the UK that tends to be a very geeky name. And okay, I am slightly geeky, but that's by the by. I try to fight it at all times. But it's and there's other names that tend to be very synonymous with certain types of things. There's like, let's say, in another county, in the East County, called... Yes, they are. Kevin, Christopher, Simon, Richard, Elizabeth, Victoria. Yep, they are very common. Probably Kevin's not so much now. They come in phases, usually because someone's film star or someone's become very popular. You know, that's how these things go. You know, there was like the royal wedding, so everybody starts last year or whenever it was, so people start naming their kids after them. You know, these things happen. But the aspect of names, especially in the Western world, where we seem to have lost the connection between name and a person, but certain people do still have this inbuilt stereotype with a name. So, this is the question: Although they does the name define the person or the person define the name? That's a really No, I agree. It doesn't really, not so much here. The only time the name probably could define the person is if you get sort of bullied because of your name, and that sort of pigeonholes you into a certain thing. But yes, a spirit name is a little bit more defining, and those are very important. Now, why is it important to know the name? Well, many aspects of the craft require a name, be that a person or a divinity, so that you can correctly address them or target them, for want of a better word. Now, taking back to the Egyptian requirements of a name, to know the name is to the defi gives you your existence. To know your secret name is to know, possibly, as you say, a spirit name. There's a classic one, classic Egyptian story of Isis, the how she gained her power. There was she realized fairly early on that to gain more magical power, more heka, she required to know the secret names of the creator god Ra. If she knew his secret names, she would gain his power, and so her power would increase, and she would be able to use that to further her own needs and goals. So what she did was arrange for a snake or a scorpion, depending on the story, to bite Ra, and because he then became poisoned, he, for some bizarre reason, couldn't heal it. Probably because it was magical. I can't quite remember the exact reason why, but the crux of it was that Isis came along and said, "Oh right, well I can help heal you. I'm pretty good with healing." But to heal you properly, I need to know your secret names. Now, obviously, he was getting a bit upset about that. He knows the importance, so he wasn't going to give it. But he felt the venom really affecting him badly, so the amount of pain was causing him. He gave in, told her his secret names. She then used that to heal him, so he was happy. But she now had his secret names, and she gained the power to use them and to become one of the more powerful goddesses within the Egyptian pantheon. Now, when we use names, be that divine or, there's some bizarre stories within the Egyptian path. Yeah, probably. It's very old. It's one of the older ones of that same, along with the whole Isis and Osiris myths that circle round. But anyway, we'll get back to this. So to know the name is important. Now, why would you need to know the name? If you want for a human, then you may be casting some protective spell or some healing. Well, you need to target, and this is where it's going to come down to. It's very important. To know the name gives you the power over that person. Now, whether you use that for good or bad or in between or however you view your magic, but you need a name to target. If you are going to heal someone, and if it's distant, then you might give the ne ask the name, say, "I want to heal Fred Blogs." Boom. Now, this is the in part. The other interesting part is, even if you've got the most obscure name, you can probably bet you're not the only one on this planet that has it. If you just type your name into Google, you will probably find lots of them. I found lots, and some of them are quite disturbing. Some years ago when I looked for it, I think my name was, someone with my name was on the US Most Wanted list. So I, oh, that's pretty cool. So, yeah, that's the reason I don't want to fly to the US, because I know what they're like. I don't want to be landing and get carted away because I'm confused by someone on the wanted list. But it's not me. good. So, in cases like that, where, well, you're lucky there if you, well, actually, you may not be lucky or unlucky, depending on how you look at it. If it's a name that's a fairly common, like, say, Fred Bloggs, probably poor soul, whoever's called Fred Bloggs, they must get an awful lot of spam. You would need to require other means to locate the person. Now, this is where you start getting into other additional things to home in on them. Photos, other kind of material to identify them. Now, the most important bit, and this is where I'm going to go. Yes, I know that I'm only... there are ways, if I want to locate people, is not by using names, but in this instance I'm talking about names. So, where names become a problem is in using them with deities. Now, for me, I had an interesting set of problems. The Egyptian Path is, well, it hasn't had a native speaker for some couple of thousand years or more. And so the vocalization of names is a challenge. Now, most people within this path would tend to use the Greek forms, anglicized Greek forms, like Isis. For me, mine's the scorpion goddess Salket or Salkis. Now, they're great, but that may or may not be a good thing to use. Now, as far as if I want to address a particular deity using these common names. Ah, cool. There's a value in using names that have had tried and tested success. People use Isis a lot. People use Thoth, the god of wisdom. Or Osiris, or Ra, all of these. Now, there's nothing wrong with using those, even if they have no direct connection with the original source of the original name as the ancients would have used them. And this goes for any path where, well, why do people want to use a deity name? I have statues of mine. I can just talk to the statue, or I can visualize the imagery of the people. Well, that's slightly different. You say you don't get their power. Within my particular path, the whole point is invocation of the deity and of multiple deities. The more you can cram in, the more power you'll gain. So there's many examples of different invocations or spells. They didn't really use the word invocation or evocation. but they would call on, which is evocation, a deity, and they would probably ask for about half a dozen of these things to turn up just to gain the power. So if you raise yourself up to make your will, do you will do more than you would with a normal name. It's a combination. You are placing your intent, which is your will, that's good enough, and that can have a good effect. But, you know, if you want to ramp up the volume, the power, you call in the heavy guys to give you a bit of extra boost. But within this path, heavy guy, it's all down to personal taste. There are so many examples of different spells. I haven't got any of my books handy. Just keep asking. Oh, I'm sure Rain's fine. Just keep asking. You're not driving me nuts yet either, so don't worry. The whole point is asking questions. And, now if I can re-find out where I was again. Oh, yes. The correct names. Now, if you have a path where you have already got some good examples of names to use, whether they are authentic or not, well, Anubis isn't a wolf, it's a jackal, which I think is a slightly different creature, but hey, it's still slightly more dog-like. I don't know enough about my biology, whatever it is about those, to tell you which one's which. A small animal you would eat. Oh, yeah. I think Anubis wouldn't be too happy. Where was I? Oh, yeah, okay. Anubis is cool. Anpu is sort of a transliteration of the original Egyptian hieroglyphics. Now, that's another aspect, is that I tend to use the, like many though of those that use Egyptian path, tend to use sort of transliterations of the Egyptian forms. I would use Serket instead of Salket, because it's sort of S-R-Q-T, I think is the hieroglyphics. Isis, I think, tends to go along Asset or Asset. My Thoth that I used is Dahuti, or Tehuti, or Dahuti. There's so many different ways of these Egyptologists have translated these all slightly differently, so who knows how these... This is a real problem when you use something that hasn't had a vocal form for a long time. No one knows what these are supposed to translate to, or how they're vocalised, so it's a pain in the backside. I have the ways... I've established the names that I use for my gods, and I've associated those sounds, those vocal sounds, with the imagery. So as far as I'm concerned, that solves the problem. But if you're dealing with the old symbols, you mean hieroglyphics? No, I can't spell that word either. I did a long time ago. Unfortunately, I've not kept up, and I seem to have forgotten most of it, which is a real pain. And like in the last session where I was talking about amulets, because I tend to use visualization a lot, and my hieroglyphic skills have, like, gone to pot, I tend to actually prefer to use runic characters because they are easier to visualize and to work with, or to make my own symbols up that can have some meaning to me of some kind. But anyway, an example, there was one example I came across that has a bearing on pronunciation and not doing research properly. I was watching the good old classic film Bedknobs and Broomsticks. It's really corny, but it's a giggle. I like it. And within that film, there's an amulet there of Ashtaroth that they are after. And that sort of got me thinking about what that word is. So I looked it up. Now, it then came very clear that there are a couple of similar words to that that you could have a problem with if you were to use them as a invocation or evocation or talking however you want to use it. Now, the first word, and I can't remember which way round this goes in the film, there's Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth. And Astaroth, which is Asterorth. I think I've typed that wrong. Yes. See, this is really dangerous stuff. Yeah, there we go. It's now, I looked those up. And the interesting thing is, one is a form of Ishtar, of Astarte, a mother goddess, and the one's a very nasty creature, some demonic force. Now, if you were to use, if you were wanting to call the mother goddess, and you were to mispronounce it because you weren't paying attention or you hadn't researched properly, depending obviously your success or not, you could be trying to call for the wrong thing. Now, it takes a lot of effort to do evocation. If you would put a lot into it, which would you rather turn up? There's one you probably wouldn't want. Now, playing with names is really difficult. It all comes down to ensuring your research is good. Yes, you might want my next session, evocation. There's an interesting story I relate in there about something very nasty I encounter on one session I did. Now, I've completely skipped half of much of this. I seem to have lost track. And we're getting close. Yes. Now, yeah, I think I will just dish out the text for this one, because I think I've lost the plot a bit. And that's not your fault. Don't worry. This one's only a short one. Oh, is that some wings you're putting on? Aha, they're funky wings. Okay. Let me just throw out this text, and I'll give you all the previous ones to everybody as well. This, I think, is actually the last time this particular session is going to be running. I'm going to, at the end of this run, it needs a total revamp. the whole series. So it's time for a change. Right, what I'm going to do now. I'm currently, if you're not aware, that I'm actually what I would suggest as well is that although I've just given you the lovely note cards for this, note cards formatting is appalling. I would suggest hanging on, well, your choice really, the text for the, there's a PDF version that I will be bunging on the blog in next few days, so I suggest hanging off, because the PDF version obviously is a lot nicer to look at. So take a note of that. The details for the oh well, always reading is always a good thing. Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to stop the recording.